to be in the house of God and to worship Jesus together. What an absolute privilege. You really are a beautiful bunch of people to lead. Amen. Not necessarily beautiful in the sense of the way you look, but just a wonderful bunch of people. What a joy to be your pastor and to lead you this year. It's been such a privilege. As you can see on my left, the renovations that Arthur Miley is doing for us are coming along nicely. It's actually a good thing we did it because people are even using it today. But by next week, God willing, for our carol service, it'll be complete, painted nicely. Arthur, I'm putting pressure on you. Also, the guys there will have some screens up there so you can actually see what's going on and you'll have your own words. So it'll be helpful. And so thank you so much to Arthur and his team for doing such a wonderful job. And they always do it every single time we ask them to do anything. So don't forget next week's carol service. It's going to be fantastic. My wife Paul is leading those carols. We've got the little kids playing some items as well and dressing up in their favorite Christmas character as their famous favorite Christmas character. So it's going to be fantastic, and we can't wait for that. Yes, good, very good point. Just for those moms with little babies, we are preparing a wonderful place for you. It's going to be to my right, behind the wall there. There's a lovely big space there. It's going to be vacated, a big office space where you'll be fully equipped for your little ones to be in a safe space and you can hear what's going on and close to the service as well. So just be with us for a week or so, and before you know it, you'll have a wonderful place to enjoy for yourself and your little ones. So it's a work in progress, but we're getting there step by step. Well, if you've got your Bible with you, I'd like to invite you to turn to the best known, most well-loved psalm in the entire Bible. That would be Psalm 23. And especially during difficult and challenging times, this psalm has been a source of comfort and hope and encouragement to so many people. And that's probably been the experience of many in this church as well. Psalm 23. As a pastor, as part of my daily duties, and it's not really a duty, it's a privilege, I get to go and visit people in hospitals and pray for those who've got cancer and those who are suffering from various other illnesses. It's a joy to do it. And one of my very first pastoral visits, not at this church, but a previous church, was to a wonderful lady called Leslie. One of the most vibrant and encouraging ladies you could ever wish to meet. Just a joy to have as part of our fellowship. And she had very suddenly been diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer. And she was literally given a very short period of time to live. And in the hospital, she handed me her diary. And I began to read what she'd written. And it went like this. Leslie wrote, "I was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and now it just quickly spread to my liver, lymph nodes, and lungs. If I didn't know the Lord, I'd probably be very afraid right now. But instead, I have such incredible peace." And then she wrote, and Psalm 23 sums it all up. A day or two later, Leslie passed away to be with the Lord. And that was the first ever funeral service I conducted as a pastor. And so if you're walking through a difficult season of life, challenging time, I pray this message will be a tremendous source of hope and encouragement to you. Psalm 23, let's read the beautiful words that David wrote. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for this great psalm. Lord, it's a psalm that has been used historically over so many years and centuries to bring hope and encouragement to your people who are walking through seasons of difficulty and trial. Lord, I recognize for some 2018 has been a challenging year on different levels for different people. And I pray, Father, over the next 25 minutes for a huge impartation of hope and encouragement and life into those that are struggling this morning. Give us wide open hearts to receive and to respond to your word. In Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, let me share a few thoughts, a few reflections from Psalm 23 with you. Number one, your shepherd's care is personal. As you read the Bible, the emphasis for the most part is on the collective, on the plural. God is our God, we are his people. But in Psalm 23, look at the words David uses and make note of every time in the psalm he uses a first person pronoun, either I or me or my. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. 17 different times, David uses the first person pronoun in that psalm. And he's wanting to show us that God is not just a shepherd. He's not just a general shepherd. He's not just somebody else's shepherd. He's not just a universal, global shepherd. But actually, God is a personal shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. My friends, be encouraged. The good shepherd, because he's a personal shepherd, he knows you personally this morning. Nothing about your life, no detail, is hidden from him. We spoke last week about Elohim, that beautiful name of God that means sovereign, majestic, all-powerful, supreme God. Elohim knows you, he loves you, he cares for you. He's a personal shepherd who loves the world globally. Yes, every single person matters to him, but he also loves you. He's a personal shepherd. Thought number two. Your shepherd is everything you need. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The NIV translates it, I lack nothing. Now that's very encouraging because for some of you, as you sit there this morning, you are lacking in certain areas. Some of you are lacking physically this morning. Some of you have been diagnosed with cancer. Some of you, like Debbie Goodall, who couldn't be here this morning because she's lying in the free hospital, are battling physically because she's had a limb amputated. Charl Townsend, a limb amputated. And so some of you this morning say, Mark, I'm lacking physically. Others may be lacking emotionally. You just feel drained. The challenges of 2018 on different levels have sucked you dry, and you feel your tank is empty on an emotional level. For some, you're lacking relationally. In your family, your marriage, things aren't good. It hasn't been a stable, happy year for you. Maybe someone else is lacking financially. We know 2018 has been a tough year for many people financially, and you've just battled to pay the bills and to make ends meet. For others, it might be a social or political lack. We know South Africa is not in a healthy place right now. And sometimes that just gets you down and makes you feel very discouraged. My friends, let me encourage you. All those things are true and they cannot be minimized, they cannot be wished away, they cannot be dismissed. But above all those things, the psalmist says, in God you lack nothing. Physically, relationally, emotionally, financially, Politically, we may be lacking on different levels, but in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, we are absolutely complete. Everything we need on any given level is found in Him. In times of pain and turmoil, the Good Shepherd gives you peace. When you experience hurt emotionally, the Good Shepherd gives you healing and comfort. When you experience deep weakness, the Good Shepherd gives you strength. When you experience confusion, He gives you wisdom. You know what? God truly is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. Everything you need is found in Him. Isn't it encouraging to know your Good Shepherd never stops feeding you, never stops nourishing you, never stops encouraging you, and even in the midst of tremendous loss and pain, you can say, in Him I lack nothing. I'm complete in Jesus because He is everything that I need. For many months, we prayed for Pastor Andrew Brunson. One of our colleagues in Turkey was arrested and placed in prison for 2 full years, some of that time in isolation. While in prison, Andrew Brunson wrote the most amazing song. It's a song entitled, You Are Worthy. And I recommend you go home and Google that song. It's the most incredible hymn that he wrote from a dark Turkish prison cell. And one of the verses of the hymn goes like this. Andrew Brunson writes, You are worthy, worthy of my all. This is my declaration in the darkest hour. Jesus, the faithful one who loves me, always good and true, you may be yours. You are worthy of my all. Wow. Jesus, the faithful one, always good and true, even when you're sitting alone in a dark Turkish prison cell, all because you loved and followed Jesus. My friends, He is all you need. Whatever you may be lacking in any other area of your life, in Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. You are complete in Him. Thought number 3. I hope I'm keeping my counting correct. The shepherd's provision for you is based on His grace, not on your performance. Look at verse 2 and 3. The emphasis is on Him. He makes me to lie down. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Isn't it great to know that in difficult and dark times, it is God who takes personal responsibility for leading us, for guiding us, and for restoring us? If it was up to us, we'd be in deep trouble because we're fickle. We're unreliable. We change according to the seasons of life. But it's not based upon us, David says. It's sourced in His amazing love and grace for you. My friends, be encouraged. As you walk a season of loss and a season of lack and a season of discouragement and even bereavement, Elohim, Almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing God, He has taken personal responsibility for refreshing and restoring your soul. How does that encourage you this morning? Number 4. Because God is your shepherd, you have nothing to fear. Verse 4, David writes, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a bold statement to make. And so my question to David is, how can you say that? Why doesn't the valley overwhelm you? Well, if you look at the verse very carefully, something shifts in the second half of verse 4. Because up until now, David's been speaking about God in the third person. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. But now, he switches to the second person. And he says, For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, for David, it's God's personal presence in the valley that makes all the difference. It's his personal presence in that space of darkness that gives him the ability to endure. My friends, how encouraging to know that when we find ourselves in a dark place, and some of you are there, and some of you have been there this year, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that represents in your context, like David, you can say, I fear no evil, because Elohim, the great God of the universe, the God who sees everything, who knows everything, who's all-powerful, that God is with me. You see, you can't dismiss the valleys. You can't pray the valleys away. The valleys of life are real and they cannot be escaped from. But it's God's presence in the valley that makes all the difference. A couple of years ago as a church, we said farewell to a very fine man, a wonderful Christian and a fine gentleman. And his name was Vernon Schonknecht. And I think many of us were there to experience the celebration of his memorial service, a celebration of a life well lived. But a day or two before Vernon passed away to be with Jesus, I remember seeing Vernon. And he had a smile on his face. And when I saw him, he couldn't speak very much, but he gave me a huge thumbs up. A huge thumbs up. And I think back to that memory of seeing Vernon lying on that bed with a smile and a thumbs up, knowing that death was just around the corner. And I think to myself, how, Vern? How did you do it? Well, I think I know the answer, because like David, Vernon Schonknecht knew that in that valley, even though death was just around the corner, the good shepherd was with him. God was with him in that space of death and cancer. I think about another good friend of ours, Rob Lindsay, a spiritual father to many in the city. Rob also battled terminal cancer. And I went into Rob's room thinking what I could say to help him and to encourage him. But as I walked in, I remember seeing him lying in bed and he said this to me. He said, Mark, soon I'm going to be with Jesus. And he said, by the way, you can have my fishing rod and my reel. I was delighted. I've caught many fish with that rod and reel, thanks to Rob Lindsay. But he said to me, soon I'm going to be with Jesus. It takes your breath away. Because instead of feeling sorry for him or wanting to find a way to encourage him, suddenly you want to be in his shoes. Because a few days later, Rob Lindsay passed from this life to the next, and he saw the Good Shepherd face to face, free from cancer, free from infirmity. I think both Vernon and Rob understood what Paul wrote in Philippians when he said, for me to live is Christ, but you know what? To die, that is gain. That is gain. How about the next thought? In the midst of difficulties, your shepherd doesn't just sustain you. Your shepherd satisfies you. Verse 5, and just enjoy the imagery of this beautiful verse. David writes, you prepare a table before me. Just try and use your imagination. A table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. What a beautiful picture, especially for those of us who enjoy a good meal. I won't mention names. But we all know who people are. But here you are surrounded by enemies, imminent danger. And what does God do for you? He says, I'll prepare for you a table of victory in the face of your enemies. And God Almighty, the Good Shepherd, says to you, come, come and eat. Come and eat of the bread of life. Come and enjoy the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. And no matter what's going on around you, you'll be satisfied when you enjoy his presence. The Good Shepherd doesn't just sustain you. That's one thing. No, in the presence of your enemies, when things are going wrong all around you, He satisfies the deepest longings of your soul. The Good Shepherd truly is amazing. No wonder Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, he says, we also glory in tribulations. That's strange. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now listen to this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. My friends, our cups this morning, no matter what's going on around us, are running over. Running over, because the love and the mercy and the grace and the hope of God has been poured out upon you and you and you in abundance. People living with their hearts overflowing with the goodness and grace of God. I think this is our final thought. Possibly. I might sneak in one or two. You never know. Your shepherd pursues you with his goodness and mercy. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word follow might need a little bit of explanation, because in your mind you might think of follow as lagging behind someone. Or there's some distance between you and the person that you're following. That's not the picture here at all. This means an active following, an active pursuit. You turn around and the person is right there behind you. For the guys that are married, think about the lengths you went to in your courtship days to follow and pursue the girl you wanted. Not you, Nigel, I know, but others. Think about the lengths you went to get that person. I mean, I've told you the story. I sold my boat to buy Paula's ring. Something I thought I'd never do. My most treasured possession, I sold it because I wanted this treasure. Even though now when I see that ring, I think of my boat. Here's a problem. But you see, no matter what the obstacles were, no matter what the challenges were, including the guy that she was dating at the time, you were determined to get the treasure. You followed her. You pursued her. That's the picture David's giving us. That God's goodness and mercy is not lagging behind us somewhere in the distance. No, you turn around and it's right there behind you. Goodness, mercy, grace, love, right behind you, pursuing you all the days of your life. How does that encourage you? Whoa, man, the goodness, the grace of God following you all the days of your life. So, what amazing truths. Let's summarize. The Good Shepherd is a personal shepherd. He's not just a global shepherd. Today, he's your shepherd. You may be lacking in many other areas of life, but in Him, you are complete and you lack nothing. All these beautiful things are based on His amazing grace. Because of the Good Shepherd, you have nothing to fear. You will fear no evil. The Good Shepherd doesn't just sustain you, but He satisfies the very deepest longings of your soul. And the Good Shepherd's goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, here comes the cherry on the top. And that is this. Hold on to your chairs. You might just take off like a rocket. Your experience with the Good Shepherd will never, ever end. Verse 6, David concludes the psalm with these profound words. He says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How long is forever? It's forever. My friends, His goodness and mercy and grace to you is eternal. It was available to you yesterday. It is available to you today. It will be available to you tomorrow, and it will be available to you beyond this life into all of eternity. The goodness and mercy and grace of God will never, ever end. Let me finish off by reading these incredible words to you from the New Testament. Keep in mind Psalm 23. We're now in John chapter 10. Where the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, begins to speak. And this is what he says. John 10:11. He says, "I am the good shepherd." Wow, the shepherd's got a name. He's not anonymous. He's not unknowable. The good shepherd we've been speaking about this morning has got a name. His name is Jesus. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. You see, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. "I'm the good shepherd," says Jesus. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father." And listen to this. "I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold," people that are still living beyond the walls of Ganubi Baptist Church, people who are living in brokenness and darkness, "them also I must bring." Let's make space for them to come. "And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." My friends, all the things we've spoken about today are possible because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, loves you so much that He laid down His life for you. The Good Shepherd lived the life you could never live. The Good Shepherd died the death you should have died. But the Good Shepherd didn't stay dead. On the third day, the power of God raised the Good Shepherd to life. And now because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Now because He lives, all fear is gone. Even death is not the end. For you, death simply becomes the doorway into an eternity forever and ever and ever in the presence of the living God. One day, you will see the Good Shepherd face to face. And then the words of Paul will make sense. That the sufferings of this present time, whatever they may be for you, are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Let us pray.